Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I'm so excited today because I have Elaine with me and she is obsessed with wellness, wealth, and woo, and offers holistic coaching for electronic musicians, women solopreneurs, and horse owners to have more time and energy for their passion so they can live their most abundant life. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
I'm so excited too. It's so just what you are able to offer people in the different walks of life. I would love for you to kind of just start from the beginning. Where did you start your journey and where you are today? I know it's probably long, but if you could just give us a lump sum of it, we would love to hear.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll try to keep it short. So I started my business in 2015, the Unicorn Mothership, and I started it because I feel like a lot of people will relate to this, but I was working in the corporate world and I felt like I couldn't really fully develop my creativity and the freedom that I wanted from just, you know, doing what I love and life in general. Mm-hmm. And I had always been active in the music industry ever since I was 15. So by the time I entered the corporate world, I was still working and doing a lot of stuff in the music industry, like after hours or like during my lunchtime or when I got bored at my job. So at some point I was like, you know what? I think it's really time for me to take the leap and to go it alone. Like, it's now or never. How old was I at the time? Like 32, I think. I'm 38 now. So yeah, almost 33 I was at the time. And I just felt like, you know what? I'm just going to quit my job. Like, my job was great. My boss was great. He was actually super supportive. He was like, I totally get it. We really tried to keep you here. And they did, but it just wasn't working out. I wasn't happy. And he felt like, you know what? Whatever happens, like, this entrepreneur journey that you're going on is really going to help you develop other skills and talents that, should you ever decide to go back to the corporate world, will still help you. So it's like, you know, if you ever want to come back, you can come back. But they were super supportive. And I just really felt like I hit my ceiling, like my creative ceiling, my personal development ceiling, really fast at that company. And yeah, I just felt like this is it. Like, I have to dive right in and just do it. So I think that's kind of in a nutshell what happened. The more deeper layer to that answer would be, I really had created for myself a safe space where I could just really experiment, find my voice, find ways to express my creative ideas. And that was in the form of a Facebook blog, which was called the Unicorn Mothership. Mm-hmm. And that happened because I had been living abroad in Italy for 3 years and I came back home for a corporate job. And I just really felt like I was really alienated from my environment. So I kind of started to develop this fantasy world in my head of, you know, like a spaceship flying around and the captain was a unicorn and he was like, or she was going on all of these different adventures. And I would just write about it on my Facebook blog. So when the time came to actually start my business and name my business, a friend of mine suggested, like, why don't you just name it the Unicorn Mothership? Because what you've created for yourself, you're actually now going to extend into the world and create and offer other people that safe space so they too can start building a life around their passion, you know, without feeling pulled in different directions, without feeling like somebody's suddenly going to pull the rug from under you and everything is going to be over. And I feel like, especially as women, we feel like there's this timing on everything and like we're always feeling like we're running out of time, like biologically and like age-wise, it's so difficult for women. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, let's just do that. So that was it in a nutshell.
No, that was beautifully explained, and definitely a lot of highs and lows, I'm sure. But I love that you were like really honest with yourself too, of just, you weren't happy in the corporate world where you were working. You had an amazing setup from what it sounds like, and a lot of people do. And it was that initial step of creating the Facebook blog and being able to, I love the name of it too. It's so unique in its own. So beautiful. But I think too, a lot of people listening, hearing that, like, okay, well, you didn't just like jump ship. Like, you were really thinking about it. You were really like contemplating it as well. And what, when you started building your business, what were some of maybe the roadblocks of really going off on your own as well?
Yeah, I think I want to say, like, for me in my country here, there was a program that could help you kind of build your business plan, you know, like create your bigger picture vision, and then like create your mission, your messaging, and like, you know, create your marketing plan, like the typical things that you kind of see in a business plan, right? The thing was, I had to be fully unemployed to be able to actually go through that, which is why I quit my job. And then, yeah, I was just getting money from the government for like a certain amount of time as I was going through that program. So I really kind of figured all of that out before I started. And I also took a few courses just to kind of understand like the basics of running a business, right? The financial side of things, as I said, how to draw up a business plan, a financial plan, a marketing plan, all of that stuff. So I think that definitely really helped me because I was guided in some way, shape, or form. But honestly, in hindsight, it was really not enough. I was like so naive. I just thought like, okay, I have my financial plan. I have my business plan for the next, like, I think it was only 3 years. And I did my market research. Like, I did all of those things. I really know my sector, like the music industry, and now by extension, the online business world really well. So those things did help me. But the roadblocks were definitely, and I think, again, a lot of people will relate, was like, where do I get my clients from, right? Like, lead generation, like, how do I attract them? How do I draw them in? Mm-hmm. And for me, the first kind of step that I took there to kind of overcome that roadblock was to do what I was really good at already, which was networking. I had been active in the music industry by that time for almost a decade. And I had built up an international network of professionals in the music industry, because at the time I was only doing music industry stuff in the beginning of my business. Mm-hmm. So I really leveraged that skill of like, hey, I'm actually really good at connecting with people at networking events. And then slowly I started to build up online. So I really kind of, started out with just networking and going through my network, like, hey, who could use my services, and talk to them and explain to them what I wanted to do, really on a kind of authentic connection kind of basis, right? Because those were all people I already knew. Like, I partied with them. I managed some of their artists in the past, like when I was still doing the music industry business stuff. Mm-hmm. So really, that was the first step for me, was to network and to leverage that, and then slowly learn how to do that online, because I was really used to doing that in person. And then slowly take that online because I wanted more time freedom and more, work mobility. I wanted to be able to work from anywhere in the world. So I kind of had to figure out a way to do that online as well, which is much more difficult, I have to say.
Yeah. I find. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Because people can read energy, like when you're in person too. Yeah. And just like your experience, your knowledge base from the music industry and applying that, you were able to understand where to network and all those factors. But when you moved it to online, because that is a different beast in itself, what were some of like the moments where you're like, okay, this is something I really want to do, and like diving into the online space outside of the time and freedom?
Yeah, I think it was very much about the fact that I was already really active, like on an international level in my network. And I realized like there's, for example, a lot of people in my network who are in LA and I'm in Belgium. Like, how am I going to serve them? Like, I can't fly out each time I have a client or two. Like, I could, but I mean, like, that would just be for my well-being. Like, I would be wrecked, right? Like, yes. I was preaching about wellness in the music industry, and I didn't want to work myself into a burnout by flying all around the world, like trying to serve these DJs, right? So I feel like, yeah, that was kind of the thing. I really wanted to have a bigger impact, and through the online world, that's possible. But I realized just posting something on your Facebook page is not going to cut it. Like, just having a mailing list and sending an email once a month, which was what I was doing in the beginning, is really not going to cut it. And that's when I finally hired my first business and marketing coach. And again, like, it's always easy to say in hindsight, right? But I should have done that in the first year of my business. I should have started my business with a coach like that. Like, in hindsight, it took me about 3 years before I hired my first coach. But that really helped me, because she really taught me some strategies and structures to really learn how to show up online, to be visible, to be consistent with that, to cut through the noise, and to really know how to do that with the strategies that she taught me, because I didn't really know that. Like, I knew how to talk to people in person, but online was different.
The translation gets lost sometimes because there's so much like nonverbals that you're not like seeing when you're online in the online space. But you're right. It's so important to have like those strategies and tools in place to even scale your business, because it's trading that time for money aspect as well. Especially if you can't just jump on a plane from Belgium to LA every like week. I mean, you might have been able to, but going back to the wellness piece, what are some of the things that you implement for your clients when it comes to just wellness and woo, like we were talking about earlier, because I'm a firm believer in those things, but for others to hear too, how you work.
Yeah. So how I work, I was trained as a holistic life coach and counselor in personal and transpersonal coaching. So my coaching really goes beyond the practical things and also into more of the woo-woo things, like the metaphysical level. What is my purpose here? What are my deeper values in life? What am I put here on this planet to do? Like, I always link back to that value system, right? And that really goes beyond, okay, I'm going to go live every Wednesday for half an hour at 1 p.m. and I'm going to be consistent and blah, 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 blah. Like, at some point, you have a difficult day, right? And you're like, oh my God, I'm so sick of this. Nothing is working. Nothing is like going the way I want. So I'm not getting the results I want. And then when you can really fall back on your value system and your bigger picture vision, you always know what you're doing it for. And this is what Simon Sinek's famous "Your Why" is all about, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely work with that. And I also work within a very specific coaching framework that the coach who trained me developed. And I kind of adapted it to fit kind of my style of coaching and mentoring. But basically what it comes down to is I always work with raising your awareness first as to where you are and learning to accept where you are, because then you can actually start building upon that and you can really see where you want to go. Because if you're not having enough awareness around where you are right now and the place where you're stuck at, you're constantly being in resistance around like, oh, this is not working, this is not working, this is not working. So it's really good to learn to accept, okay, this is where I'm at, like, these are my pain points. And from there, I can build and I can put out steps, right? Like, next steps. And then I really help people build their vision. Like, what is it that you really want? Like, what are your soul desires? Like, if you could have anything right now without all of the excuses coming up, without all of the conditioning, without all of the stories that you were telling yourself as to why you think you can't have those things, like, drop all of that and tell me what you want. Like, what are your deepest soul desires? And then we kind of build that bigger picture vision around that. Mm-hmm. And from there, when that's really clear, you can start identifying steps that are actually aligned with that vision, that are aligned with where you're currently at. And you can take steps that will have an effect, right? You can take inspired actions. So that's kind of like the three-step process in a nutshell that I take people through, but it's really very much the practical linked with more the philosophical, deeper things in life, right? Because everything in life is just a relationship. Everything in life is connected, intertwined. So, and this is a deep belief that I have, when something is lacking in one area of your life, it tends to overflow into another. So what you really want to do is kind of look at, you know, which area is maybe your biggest pain point right now, and just start there and know that all the rest will follow and will fall into place as well. So yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was beautifully said. Because I think too, it just goes back to, if we're not clear on what we're doing and why we're doing it, we can take all the action we want, but it's not going to get those results that we truly desire. And I think that the steps are so important, but it goes back to that clarity and knowing this is the vision, this is where I want to go. And the holistic way you bring it in also just helps people really see that, where it's not just, okay, here's something tangible, we can get to that, but we need to know what's underneath all of that in order to get there. And I think you said it so beautifully.
Yeah, and that's really why I like working with a value system, because your goals are meant to support those values, right? It's really about like, what am I going to do and how is this going to support my values? Like an example could be, maybe you are somebody who really wants to support your family. Maybe that's something that's super important to you. It's very important to me. Like, I raised my brother, so for me, it's really important to be financially super secure so that I can provide for my family, not only by like giving money, but also showing him how to attract it and showing him how to build his own wealth. So I'm going to set out goals in my business that will support that value of being able to support my family, for example, right? That's kind of like a tangible example, but that's really important.
No, it's very important, because when we are going through building a business, it doesn't happen overnight. As we were stating, I mean, you went to school for a while, which I had no idea, because in the States, they might have something like that, but I've never come across anything like that, where you have to stop your full-time job in order to move into being an entrepreneur. Because here, a lot of people I've spoken to, it's, they're working their 9 to 5 and they're hustling on the side, but it's so different. And it's interesting how it's different in different countries, but it goes back to like, when we're working towards something, it's knowing what our values are. I'm a firm believer in that as well, because that is going to give you that drive and motivation to continue to move forward when things don't go perfectly as planned.
Never do.
Never. I don't remember if last time that's happened. It sometimes turns out much better than I could have imagined, but it's never how I plan it. And I'm a big planner. but I'm curious, as you were working with your coach and building your business, what were some of the moments that, like, because especially you work with individuals around their purpose and finding the deeper meanings, what allowed you to continue to build your business and grow it outside of the values? Because I think that's a pivotal moment and point in building a business. But for you, what were those moments where you're like, yes, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing?
Honestly, for me, it's when I'm either in a one-to-one coaching session with a person, or I'm speaking in front of a group. Like, I'm also a speaker, so I get invited a lot to speak or give keynotes or be part of a panel or something. And it's just that connection with people that I'm having a positive impact on. Like, there is nothing like it in the world for me. It's just seeing people having a breakthrough and seeing them just kind of open up and relax and be like, oh my God, oh, okay, I got it now. Like, feel it in their body, embody it. That is just the best thing in the world. And the fact that I get to be part of that, that they chose me to be a part of that, to witness that, is just phenomenal. There is nothing like it. And it makes me feel so humble and blessed to be able to be of service when I am able to do that. Like, as I said, either in a one-to-one situation or a one-to-many, it's just like just seeing, even if it's just one person who has a breakthrough, because I know what that's like. Like, I know what it's like to constantly live in anxiety, to have mental health issues, to constantly worry, to wake up at night and to worry and to be like, oh my God, what is this thing? I can't shake it. Like, where is the answer? Like, what? Where is the light, you know, at the end of the tunnel, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so horrible to be in that place. And when I can see somebody have that breakthrough, that clarity, it's just the best thing ever, really.
Yes. No, it's about that transformation and being a small part of that, because they're doing the work, but you're that guide for them. And mm-hmm. just from your experience too, when what helped you get out of those situations? Like when you were struggling in corporate and moving into the entrepreneurial space, what allowed you to do that?
I think, well, no, I'm sure. I tend to say I think a lot, but actually I'm sure. For me, I'm sure at first it was survival instinct, because I grew up in a very violent, abusive home. And at some point when I was 19, I suffered a psychotic break. Mm-hmm. And I was always the person to say, like, okay, this can either kill me or make me stronger. It sounds cliche, but it's really that simple.
Yeah.
And I always chose for things to make me stronger. I was always like, nope, they're not going to beat me down. This is not going to get me. Like, this is not, no, like, no. It was always a kind of a decision to go against certain systems and structures that were abusive or exploiting me. Yeah. And I was just really, you know, enough of a rebel to go against that. And in the beginning, it was definitely survival instinct. And then as I grew as a person and as an entrepreneur, I learned to self-regulate and I learned to operate from a space of peace, calm, and stability so that my creativity could flow from there. Mm-hmm. That's something that I had to learn. I learned that through working with several coaches, healers, mentors. I'm still on that path. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that my anxiety is getting less and less. Like, I now have anxiety-free days. That's like huge for me. You know, sometimes I have a week without any anxiety. And that's like, whoa, how did I get here? This is so freaking crazy. But with continuous support and continuously revisiting things, like as you go through phases of life and entrepreneurship, you learn new things, you learn new perspectives. And then sometimes life is going to present you in contrast and things are going to come up again that you thought you had already worked through. And then you kind of have to go back and you're like, oh, damn it, not this thing again. I thought I worked through that. Like, go away, you know? But, you know, you kind of learn, like, you learn to appreciate the contrast and understand, like, this is curious. What is this trying to tell me right now? Rather than like, oh, damn, everything is just fucked. Like, excuse my French. But, you know, so definitely moving from survival to learning how to self-regulate has been the thing for me that really made a lot of difference.
No, it absolutely does. And thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable too of your experience and a lot of the hardships you had to endure. But you're right. It's really about, I always say it's a village helping you, because it's not just one person. Sometimes one person says something that sparks other things. You start going to different healers or coaches or therapists or whatever you really need in that moment. And, you know, you're absolutely right that when you go through something, you feel like you fully 110% healed it. But then something happens where you are triggered by something and it has nothing to do with that exact thing, but there's something that triggers it. And it's just reevaluating it and looking at it, because I think to kind of sum up what you said, because I thought it was so great, what, like, touching on all the touch points is when we're able to take a step back and look at it of, okay, this is new information. how do I grow from this? And really, it's made you so much stronger in all the things that you have endured. But being able to recognize, okay, it doesn't make me less than or anything that way. It's really about, okay, this is something I can empower myself to move through it versus not acknowledging it or suppressing it, whatever people do, because I know a lot of people do that. And I know I have anxiety as well. Yeah. And I've definitely kept it in check, but there's sometimes it grows a little bit more depending on situations, but not diminishing it. But it's having that open conversation, that open dialogue with ourselves first and foremost. And the people around us too, that we know are a safe, supportive group. And I think it's important, especially as entrepreneurs too, we're always learning and evolving. And when we get new information, it's how do we digest it and move forward?
Yeah, totally. And this is also why I really love, like in my coaching practice, I'm really the type of coach and mentor who loves to just find the smallest intervention that can have the biggest impact.
Yeah.
So for example, to really learn to take that step back and be the observer and feel safe in that position and feel safe with everything that you are observing, because things can get really traumatic, right? So it has to really feel safe enough for you to be able to step back and look at everything, like everything in that situation, no matter how painful. And I like to really teach people easy tools that they can then use on themselves so that they can self-coach, so that they can just continue using that and they can always know exactly what to do when something like that comes up, right?
Right.
That is so important, that ability to self-empower, you know? Like for me, it's really important when people work with me that they don't want to come back after we're done. Like that's success for me. Like when I'm like, I'm good, you know, and maybe 1 year later, I still have clients reaching out to me like a year, 2 years, 3 years later, saying like, oh my God, those sessions or those 2 months together, or that one thing that you did there, like it's still helping me. And I was just thinking about it now and I just wanted to let you know. And then I'm like, awesome, like great. Yeah. And like, so happy for you that you're flourishing. And so happy that you're not a returning client, because that means that I actually did what I was supposed to do for you. And now you can go it alone. And that's the whole point. I don't want people to be returning clients. Like, I mean, some are,
yeah,
but it's very rare. It's very rare.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, you know, life has twists and turns, ups and downs and everything, and different phases of life, and something might get thrown their way that they might not know how to handle or might need that extra support, which I'm sure is the returning clients that you do have. But it's just a testament too of, we don't want to have those repeat clients because we want them to be able to take the tools and move forward. So I'm curious, because you have such a different range of clients as well, and where you started into where you are now. So what made that switch from musicians to women solopreneurs to horse owners?
Okay. So those were all things that I've always wanted to do. And I never gave myself permission to be all of me and to just do whatever the F I wanted in my business.
Yeah.
And again, probably something a lot of people will be able to relate to, the pandemic helped me kind of put myself in that space where I was like, okay, so if this would be the thing that kills my business, what else would I be wanting to do? Because the music industry really suffered, you know, around the world. Like I was part of some global research, you know, with like a global research team looking into the effects of the pandemic and the regulations of governments worldwide on the music industry. And it was horrible. Like it was a horrible situation. And I know it was like that for many sectors. I just know for the music industry, it was like really bad. So that side of my business wasn't really going very well because, you know, people weren't able to work. So they weren't able to earn money to invest in a coach. I mean, like some of them would use their savings and like there's always ways to pull money from, but most people were very much like afraid to invest and like, oh my God, how long is this going to go on for? Like, I really need to hold on to my money. So I started to support those people in different ways. And I started to think about, okay, what else do I want to do? Like, what about me? Because especially first year, I was so much in it. I was like constantly doing like a lot of free sessions or like online appearances or whatever, raising awareness, trying to really help people cope with this pandemic. But second year, I really started to think about me and really kind of a new almost sub brand came through, and it's not completely like in its shape yet, like I wanted to, but it's forming. But it was really more about the type of person that I am. I am just multi-passionate. There's many, many things that are coming through me every single day, and I'm now allowing them to come through. And at first I was afraid. I was thinking like, oh my God, what are people going to think? Like, you're working with electronic artists and female entrepreneurs and horses? Like, girl, what is that about? But for me, it makes sense because the common denominator is me. And in essence, it always comes down to the same thing. It comes down to the fact that I believe that everything in life is intertwined. Everybody in this world wants connection, wants deep, sacred relationships to anything and everything in their life. Whether that's their horse, their romantic partner, their business, their finances, their body, their spirituality. I think I had them all. It's all a sacred relationship, right? And you want to have that deep connection. You want to have a way of really fully expressing that for yourself. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this thing. Like, I just want to do this, and I'm going to listen to that soul desire. As one of my coaches always says, when you say yes to soul, life says yes to you. And that's from Jessica Caver Lindholm, who is one of my mentors. And that really just is just me. Like, I've always been very much connected with horses in my life, all of my life, ever since I was a child. My dad grew up on a horse farm. I now also have my own horse. Equine Reiki is something that I've always been wanting to do, but never allowed myself to do. So I started to take the trainings, and I started to really take the steps to be able to make this an extra service in my business, and also really work with the horse owners, who are in essence also people like me. They are conscious people who want to live a holistic, full life, right? Like, that's also something that I wanted to add. Like, in essence, if you think about it, you're always going to, your ideal dream client is going to be a person in essence that's kind of like you, or maybe like a previous version of you, right? Like, so in a way, you're going to attract those people anyway. So for my people, it makes perfect sense that I'm working with horses and their owners, and also spiritual entrepreneurs, and also electronic musicians, and also I'm doing radio, and also maybe I will do a DJ set if I want to, and like whatever I feel like doing, I'm just going to do. And to my people, it's going to make sense. They're going to be like, yeah, of course, because that's just who she is, right? And that's the thing. Like, I made the shift from hiding behind my mothership, my spaceship, to coming out and showing myself as the brand. I think that was definitely the shift. Yeah.
I think that's an important shift, because a lot of times when you start a business, especially in the online space, of you're like, okay, well, this is my branding, but it's really you are the brand, and especially the services you're providing. It's different if it's a product. Sometimes it's slightly different, but really being able to put yourself out there and doing all the groundwork that you did too, just the networking and the networking online and how that shifted. But I think it's being true to yourself and being authentic and being able to do different things too, because every time I have a different conversation, I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing this and this and this. And like, there's so many things going on, but it makes sense to us, maybe not everyone else, but bringing it together too. And I think it's just like, it's a natural progression too, because once you start one thing, it's like, it's kind of like shiny object syndrome in a way. You have an actual strategy because you've already done it before. And that's the difference. I think like we can want to do a lot of things, but it's this gradual progression. And that's what it sounds exactly like what you went through too. It was a gradual process for you to really understand, okay, well, I love all these things. How can I incorporate it? And being super creative about it. And I think COVID helped a lot of people realize that because there was so much time at home or like couldn't really go out and using that creativity, because I mean, you sound very creative and what I know about you so far as well as just the creativity flows, but being able to use that energy and really helping other people too is massive. And that's what it's about. That's what the journey is all about too. It's not about us. It's what we're doing and holding space for different types of individuals. It doesn't have to have a label.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me also, it was, well, actually, yeah, I definitely have to mention this. I feel last year, January 1st, I decided to stop drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. And a shit ton of stuff came up when I stopped drinking alcohol. Like, okay, I was numbing out a lot of things. Like, I don't see myself as I had an alcohol problem. Well, I didn't see myself like that. But when I'm thinking back now, I'm like, I actually did have an alcohol problem. I really did. Because I was using it to numb out parts of me that I just was too afraid to let out. And so once I stopped, it really came out. It was just all there like, hi, hello, hi. And what really helped me cope, first and foremost, was community. I had an amazing group of people around me who were also sober. Mm-hmm. And second was my spirituality. Through kind of increasing my alcohol intake through the years, which really snuck up on me. I didn't mean to do that. It just kind of happened. I was having so much fun and then I was having too much fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my spirituality kind of suffered from that. Like I kind of lost my faith. I lost my spiritual practices because of that. And so when I stopped drinking, my spiritual practices came back and I really started to dive a lot deeper into those. Like what was the thing that was making me feel really connected to my life when I was younger? And it was my spiritual practice, you know, taken from witchcraft and other things that I really love. Like I've always been very much connected to witchcraft ever since I was a child.
Yeah.
And I really started to look up a spiritual mentor and I started to surround myself with more spiritual people. And then I discovered human design. And for me, that was like, okay, I get it now. I'm starting to, like, for me, human design, it's not like, I'm not saying put yourself in a box and put yourself in this system and that's it. It was just another amazing way to get curious about myself and to learn something about myself, like astrology, like coaching, like going to a therapy session, like reading a book and then discovering something about yourself, right? Like it was just that for me. Mm-hmm. But human design definitely pulled out all of those things for me and a bunch of other stuff as well. Like, you know, I did an Akashic Records reading and like dove into all of that stuff as well. And I was afraid to do that, but then I did it anyway. And like, you know, it really came down to rediscovering my spiritual practice. And because I quit alcohol, that really helped me to do that. So I think that's also definitely very much an important part of it.
Yes. No. And thank you for sharing that too, because, you know, I was just having this conversation with a friend not too long ago because I haven't drank in about 6 years, over 6 years, six and a half. But, you know, when I started my spiritual journey, I noticed too, I was just so much more connected to myself and nature. And, you know, that was the conversation I just had with this friend not too long ago about how she doesn't really drink. And she's like, you know, I notice when, even if I have just one drink, it impacts like the mind and body and just how, I'm not telling people not to drink or do whatever, but it's just so interesting how like your spirituality gets so much stronger without any substance. And I mean, some enhance it, some do not. I'm not a chemist in that way or anything, but you know, it's just so interesting that you brought that up because it triggered that thought of like, we had this really in-depth conversation about it, but like to speak to your experience of how it just, you really came back to that spirituality and it enhanced it for you because it was just the focus. And not to say if you have a glass or two, it's going to impact it, but really being able to cut it out sometimes can really just allow you to be super grounded with your practices in different ways and different capacities. So I'm really glad you brought that in the conversation, because it was just, it's so funny. That's so fresh in my mind too.
You're in the city, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And also what you said, like, I'm also not saying to people like, stop drinking, whatever. I'm not saying that. Yeah. If you're sober curious, you know, you can maybe cut it out or whatever, like twice a week, or I don't know. But for me, it was very much about like, why am I drinking? Why do I want to drink? Right. Like, that was the thing that really got me. And I just understood that I definitely was using alcohol as a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I had been for a very long time, and I didn't really realize it until I realized it. It took me another like 4 or 5 months to really just stop drinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And I hope that gives somebody a different light or lens of maybe what they're going through, and just knowing that there's options. There's totally options of doing things different ways, but how it's going to help our overall well-being. And that's what it's about. Just like being healthy from the inside out and being able to move forward in our businesses in any capacity possible. But I've been enjoying this so much. I just have one more question before we jump into the rapid fire questions. What are maybe 2 or 3 tips you could give somebody who is in the process of building their business or starting out? I know there's different capacities, but things that you wish you knew on your journey.
Yeah, I've already touched upon it. Like, for me, it was definitely hiring a coach. And I know that can be super scary. I know when I first hired my coach, I was like, oh, so scared, you know, the commitment of it. I thought it was the money investment, but it wasn't necessarily. It was more the expanding so far beyond my comfort zone. And the investment in money was kind of like the translation of that. And I had never done that before. So kind of feeling into that frequency, like, oh, this is such a huge stretch. I had never, ever paid more than 70 euro, I think, for anything related to my personal development. And then suddenly I was going to pay like $2,000 to a coach I'd never met. And she was like coaching me online, and she was in the States, and like, oh, crazy stuff. Yeah. But now it's like, of course, you know. But I do understand that for a lot of people, especially if you're first starting out, that can be scary, but definitely one of the best things I can recommend. And then another tip would definitely be, and this is a tip that I actually got when I first started out, was always surround yourself with people who are better than you. And I want to say better, quote unquote. With better, I mean people who are several steps ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So that you can always have proof of what's possible. Because if you haven't done it yet, it can be really difficult to believe if it's possible for you and if it's going to work, right? And we're kind of like the people like, I need to see it to believe it. But actually, it kind of works the other way around. But if you want proof, you can borrow proof from other people, because what's possible for one is possible for all. If it's possible for a person to make, I don't know, to have 3 clients in a week, or to make 20K in a month, or to go speak at a stage, if it's possible for another person, it's definitely possible for you. And so surround yourself with people who are several steps ahead, so that you can actually be saturated in the possibilities, in the many, many, many endless possibilities for you, so that you never forget. And when you do have a bit of a hard time, you can actually think back to, oh, but wait a minute, so-and-so actually achieved this, and so-and-so actually achieved that. Like, if she can do it, then I can do it, you know, and that definitely helps too. So I would say those 2 things are my big tips.
Yes, I would solely agree with those 2. They definitely encompass just the empowerment of being able to build your business, but the belief in yourself and just going for it and not holding yourself back in any capacity, but giving mm-hmm. yourself that opportunity. Yeah. Thank you for sharing those. So are you ready for the rapid fire question?
Yes, so excited.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to hear your answers. So the first question is, who is your hero?
Oh my God. Oh, that's difficult. I want to say Idris Elba.
Okay, and why?
There's something about his presence and his voice. I'm very much a voice person. I think the voice is one of the most powerful things. It's something that I used to be a singer. As a coach, I use my voice in many different ways to help guide people through situations, sessions, whatever. My voice has a huge impact on anybody I meet. I record meditations. Like, voice is really important to me. And Idris Elba has like this, I don't know, this voice that just feels like it can really move worlds or something. Like, I don't know. He was just the first person that came to mind. Definitely, I have many heroes, but he was the first person that came to mind. So yeah. Hi, Idris. Also, I met him once in my life when I was working in London. I was working for a streaming service called Mixcloud. And he, at the time, happened to be really good friends with my boss at the time. And at some point, he just walked into the office and it was like, oh my God, it's Idris Elba. I was like totally fangirling and trying to keep my cool, but totally not like working. So
yeah. I love that. What a great experience. You got to meet him in the flesh and blood.
Yeah, we said hi and I was like, you know.
Girl moment 101. Yeah. But that's okay. We all have those moments. And you got to experience it. So it's a win-win.
Totally.
I'm so glad you got to meet him. What motivates you to work smarter?
My mental health. It really, like, just the peace, calm, and stability that I've been able to create for myself, that inner state of balance that I finally, after all the turmoil in my life, you know, the violence, the abuse, the poverty, to now have, as I already touched upon, days or sometimes even a week without anxiety, that really keeps me going. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. And I'm sure somebody listening too can really just resonate or want that too. And having the tools to do that and not have that every day feel so heavy, but really lightening it up and being able to work through it. Mm-hmm. That's key. So if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Okay. People always tell me this, and this is one of the reasons why I became a coach as well. But people tend to want to tell me their whole life story within 5 minutes meeting me. And like, I don't know, like that would be my superpower, or that is my superpower. And I remember, like, you know, it was so funny. And when in 2017, I went to South Africa with one of my best friends. And she would constantly be like, we would be in a bar having a drink and she would go to the toilet and she would come back and some random stranger would be sitting next to me talking to me about his life. And she would be like, I can't leave you alone. You know, always do this. But so that's my superpower. And I think one of my other superpowers, I know, because people keep telling me this as well, is that I really, really see people for who they are. And I really can see what's going on inside people. Sometimes it's a little freaky and I have to learn to not voice that when I'm not asked. It's also part of my projector thing. Like, I need to be invited before I can actually like voice what I'm seeing, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's like, oh, what are you doing, woman? Like, this is too much. But I definitely see a lot. I'm very like, yeah, observant, and I see so much that's going on, and I had to learn to leverage that in a positive way and not a creepy way.
That's important, you know, leverage it good. But you know, it's true. I think when we have that energy, especially for you, and like the energy of people feeling open and safe to come to you, and that's what makes you a great coach as well, as creating that safe space for people, which is very imperative to being able to move forward and have that holistic lifestyle as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
It would be Lao Tzu, who mm-hmm. is the founder of Taoism. I would have so many questions. Like, I studied Eastern languages and cultures at university. So Eastern philosophies were part of the package. And I've always been so obsessed with Taoism. I would definitely have a meal with him and ask him so many questions. I would probably constantly ask him, like, but why this, why that? And he would be like dropping these like philosophical one-liners to make me think about it on my own. And that's probably what would happen.
I feel like you need like a recorder just to like, or put your phone on record so you could get all the wisdom.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you have anybody else of the other three, or would you just want him?
Three. Okay. I'm thinking, who else would I want? Maybe. I think maybe it would be nice to bring my grandmothers back. Because like my grandmother on my mother's side, I didn't really know that well. I knew her a little bit. And then my grandmother on my dad's side, I never knew because she passed away when I was 2. I think it would be interesting to have, because as I'm getting older, I'm getting more curious about certain things that are being passed on, like generational trauma, generational legacy, like that stuff. And I think it would be really amazing to ask them questions about like, what was your youth like, or where are you getting, you know, this value from, or whatever. I think I would probably want to bring them back and ask them questions. Yeah.
That'd be very interesting. I'm sure you get a lot of amazing answers, or just the knowledge and the curiosity would be answered.
Yeah. And things would probably make sense too, like in a certain way, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that. That'd be a very cool, that'd be a cool meal. I was going to say dinner, but whenever you have the meal. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Okay. Oof, that's a good question. The most daring thing. I want to say, maybe this can be a little triggering, just trigger warning, but when I was 25, I was really struggling with the effects of the abuse that I had suffered in my youth. And at some point I managed to get hold of the phone number of the person who abused me. And I called him and I asked him, why did you do that? And I didn't get an answer. Like, what was I expecting? Right. He was in kind of sort of denial. But I think that was really, for me, the most daring thing I've ever done, like to confront him and to ask that question and to be like, you know, you really fucked up my life in a way, but then in another way you didn't, because like, I'm here and I'm awesome and you suck. And you probably also have a lot of pain and hurt and stuff that you just decided to pass on to me, which is sucky, but also I get it. Like, in a way, it's, you know, you probably have a lot of pain. It doesn't excuse it, but it helped me to kind of look at the situation with compassion, but also be like, you know, fuck you, fuck off.
You know? Yeah. No, that is extremely daring, but I'm so glad you did that for you. And that's what that empowerment too, using your voice, it just all encompasses everything of being able to confront that individual and letting them know that what happened, it happened, and that's never condoned. That's never okay. But being able to stand on using your strong, empowered voice, like, thank you for sharing that as well, because I know there's so much vulnerability that you've been sharing, and I appreciate it. I know other people will too, because if you can do it, other people can do it too.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Absolutely. Thank you. What is the phone app that you use the most?
I want to say WhatsApp. Yeah, I'm going to say WhatsApp. I think that's probably the first app I open in my day. Like, I try not to open any apps like in the first at least hour of my day. Just to kind of prime myself for the day without all of the information and the noise. But yeah, I want to say WhatsApp and Instagram for sure. Yeah.
Those are two. Good ones. And what is the last book that you've read?
The last one I picked up, because I tend to not really finish books. I read several books like at the same time. But the last one I picked up was one by Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth, I think is the English title. A New Earth or something along those lines.
It's escaping me now. I know I've read several of his books.
But yeah. I think it's A New Earth or A New World or something along those lines. Eckhart Tolle. It's a pretty old one. Yeah. And then another one I was reading alongside of it, reading again actually, was... I think, what was it called Dare to Be Great or something.
Daring Greatly?
Yeah, by Brené Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also picked that one up again.
That's a good one. Yeah, I've read that several times.
Yeah, that's really good. When I needed like some inspiration or something, I'll just kind of pull that out and flick through the pages and just read something random. And sometimes it really helps me to get inspired to create some content or whatever, like whatever I want to do. Yeah.
Yes. No, she's a fantastic author of all her books. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Oof. Your questions are like, damn, girl. Playing me, Uma Thurman.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, Uma Thurman would play me. I'm saying that because some people tell me I sometimes look like her. Mm-hmm. I also just feel like she's a powerful presence as a woman, and she's also been through a lot in the film industry, mm-hmm. being a muse, you know, to a certain director. But mm-hmm. yeah, I would want to say her. I feel like, yeah, I definitely recognize myself in her. So, Thurman.
I can definitely see similarities. So if you were to think of just a family recipe that you might have, whether it's traditional or maybe you and your brother make it together or his family, or you just like doing, what would that be?
You said brother, and the thing that came to mind for me was like, maybe this is going to sound a little nasty to some people, I don't know. But we like to, and like the blame is all on me. I once made this for him and he's still like obsessed with it. We like to make an omelet and put it on bread and then put a lot of ketchup on it. And then just eat that. And we like the omelet to be a little bit runny, you know, and then put a little butter on the bread and then like the omelet on top. And then, and this sounds so unhealthy. I usually eat pretty healthy, but also that's where my brother's addiction to ketchup came from. Like I gave him a bottle and like just
never looked back.
Yeah, I know. Like, when he was really small, he would just put ketchup on everything, and my mom would be like, "Oh my god, he only wants to eat ketchup." Like, sorry, bud. But yeah,
comfort food. A lot of people like ketchup. You know?
Yeah,
and a lot of people use ketchup on their eggs, especially here. I'm not a fan of it, but I know a lot of people.
Okay.
Love it. So, you know, each is their own. But it sounds like it would be delicious, and I'm sure you and your brother enjoy it immensely. Yeah. So, if you were to had to describe yourself as an animal, like personality type and everything, which animal would you be?
A unicorn, of course.
Of course. I know. I kind of thought that's what you would say, but you know, I don't like to assume.
Yeah, a unicorn, and maybe like an actual. I mean, I believe unicorns exist, but for those people out there who don't believe they exist, I want to say, like something like maybe a ferret or something really cheeky, playful. Like floof, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a ferret.
Yeah, I want to say that. Like, yeah, something that like an animal that's a little, yeah, a little cheeky, a little, you know, that has, I've always been told I have a lot of chutzpah, I don't know if you know that word. I know it's also kind of like a Jewish word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That means like they have a lot of guts or something, you know? Yeah. And I feel like ferrets really have that. They're like so badass.
I like it. I like it. So if you have a day off, you're not working with clients or doing anything, what is your favorite way to spend a day off?
I just like to, sometimes I just like to lay down and stare at the ceiling. Sounds really boring, but yeah. It just helps me to calm my mind. So I like that. I love going to amusement parks. I have one amusement park not so far from here. It's actually in Holland, so it's kind of like, you know, our northern neighbors. And it's a fairy tale themed amusement park. So I definitely like going there because it really gets me into play mode. Like sometimes I can get really serious and be like all thinking and like philosophical and whatever. I just kind of like going there because it really helps me to get into play modes. I also love going to open air festivals, open air parties, like daytime parties. I really love it. Anything open air just, you know, makes me feel good. And of course, spend time with my horse. Spend time with Hea, just be with her in nature. And just, you know, that's definitely something I do every week, multiple times a week. So, yeah.
There's nothing like being outside, especially with horses, especially being a horse lover.
Yeah, so great. Love it.
So what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
That it's possible to get filthy rich. I don't know. It's really something that like, yeah. I just hear a lot of people ask me like, is there money in there? Really? I'm like, that's lucrative. And I'm like, oh, if only you knew, like women I hang out with, it's wow. You know, that it's possible. Wow, it sounds so superficial what I just said, but that it's really possible to build wealth doing what you absolutely love. That is what I would say.
Yes.
After no. I read a joke about being filthy rich.
But it's just, it's like that transaction too. It's like you're providing an amazing service and getting the paid for it essentially, but it's really about the lives you're transforming and like what we've been talking about this whole time and just what you do to really help people. So where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know on here too.
Yeah, so the best way to really get in touch with me if anybody's interested in working together is just going to my Instagram at the Unicorn Mothership and just send me a DM. I just really like to have that like one-to-one connection chat first to kind of see, you know, if we vibe. And then from there, I can kind of feel into your energy and see what I feel makes the most sense. Because I do have different services, different programs, obviously, you know, different types of people that I help. Yeah. So the best way is just say hi, like say hi, don't be shy, drop into my DMs. You can also do that on Facebook at the Unicorn Mothership if you're more of a Facebook person. And then my website is theunicornmothership.com. The very, very best way to really stay connected with me is to subscribe for my newsletter, which you can find on my website. I mean, it should be back up soon because I kind of, you know, was making some changes. But my newsletter really is where I share the things that I really don't share anywhere else. Like I talk to people in my newsletter like I would talk to my friends. I still feel like email is one of the most fun things to communicate through. And it's just something that's always been around and it's very reliable, right? Social media is not always reliable.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, I think those three channels, whichever feels best, just give me a shout. And if there's anything that you want to find and you can't find it, just feel free to ask me. I'm mostly the person behind my social media channels answering all of those questions. If not, my team will pick it up. And if you really want to like directly email me, then it's bridge@theunicornmothership.com. That's kind of like the more of customer service email type of thing. Mm-hmm. I also go into that inbox. But yeah, so those are the things.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, sharing all your wisdom, your journey, just being so transparent about it as well, the how-tos, the ups, downs, everything in between. But it's been a pleasure having you on. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway you heard today? I'm sure we would love to hear it as well. So we can just continue to grow this channel and really have amazing individuals like yourself on here. But thank you again for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I really, really, really enjoyed it so much. It was great. I loved it.
Well, I definitely love it too. I'm selfishly learning so much from incredible women like yourself. And we'll see you on the next video.